Some people are terrified by their dreams, night terrors. In a moment, J.M. DeBoard with us. We'll talk with him about that. And then later on, we will take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And George Norrie back with you along with J.M. DeBoard, the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Where do we get this book, J.M.?
You know, it's all over right now. It was the number one new book in dreams when it was a new release at Amazon. So it's
beautiful.
At Barnes and Noble. Yeah, that was a good feeling, man. I put a lot of work into that book. And, you know, it was at Target. I do like to make sure that the indies, like Books a Million and IndieBound, I know that they're carrying it. So I want to make sure that they get a little plug, too. It's in bookstores also. You know, it's been a couple months since it came out, and these days, boy, they they don't give you long to let your book sit on the shelf. But as far as I know, it's moving well, so hopefully you can still find it at your local bookstore.
Night terrors, exactly what are they?
You know, I think it's a term to describe a situation of chronic nightmares, and that it's beyond the level of just, you know, when you listen to somebody who describes a night terror, what you are now seeing a next level nightmare, that it's, you know, it's even more violent, it's even more dark, it's, you know, the physical response to it can be amazing. You know, you wake up and your heart's going 150 beats a minute. You're sweating. You just have these amazing, you know, bodily reactions to something that is in essence just going on inside of your mind. And I have tried to help people with it. If you look up nightmares on my website at dreams123.net, there is a link to a way of re-scripting a dream. It's basically work with the content of the dream and see if you can find some kind of resolution, because there is something that is really bothering you from within. There is something that badly needs to be resolved. And if you are having these kinds of night terrors, then you need to give yourself some kind of help.
Right.
Oftentimes it requires a professional.
Now, these dreams are unlike dreaming of hell, the devils, and demons. What does that mean?
Well, you know, the first thing you have to do with a dream is look for the story that is told through symbolism. You know, hell and the devil and stuff like that, people tend to get caught up in the sort of religious implications of it. You know, is the devil after me? You know, am I dreaming about some kind of dark spiritual influence? And what I found is in most cases, we can find a story that is being told there. You know, I had a friend of mine who had a dream about being in hell, and he was burrowing underneath the walls. He tunneled underneath, he found his way out, and then he popped out on the side of a mountain and was in thin air and started falling. And we traced it back to him having the courage to be able to break out of the conventional ways of thinking that had hemmed him or locked him in. Hell is a place where you are trapped. So that is the basic idea behind the story there. Step back from the fact that it is hell. You know, that could be a way of kind of characterizing the situation. But really what you see is that he's trapped in this place where he doesn't want to be, and he's trying desperately to escape. So what does it mean when he burrows underneath the walls? Is it the way for him mentally to get around a lifetime of being programmed to think and react a certain way? You know, the devil could be something that is a very personal problem that you're having, a very personal person who is a problem for you. You know, like think of that guy who is the, you know, or the girl who is just a terror, somebody who is very difficult for you to deal with, somebody who has it out for you. You know, whereas a demon tends to reflect something that can possess you in the sense of like a dark thought or a mood, or it's something that it's a way of characterizing a situation that you're in, a bad character trait, a bad personality trait, something along those lines.
All right, let's go to some of the calls. We'll go to Brian in St. Louis, Missouri on the wild card line. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Yes, morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I have this reoccurring dream where I wake up, I'm sleeping, I wake up and turn on the light by the bed, it don't come on. I walk throughout the house trying to turn lights on, lights don't come on. I go outside, walk down block to the service station, everything is dark.
Power outage.
I come back home, sit in a room, and finally when daylight comes out, everything's fine.
Wonder if it's a precognitive dream about the power grid going out, JM. What do you think?
yeah, stock up on your flashlight batteries, you know. What I see in this dream is that there is perhaps at night the dreamer, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
His name's Brian. Brian.
Hi, Brian. This is Jason. What I have my first instinct with this is that, you know, at night, people are different than during the day. They are not as busy, and they are left alone with their thoughts. And you tend to also not be as structured at night. During the day, you have things to do. At night, you are kind of left to your own devices. I mean, it depends. Of course, if you're working all night like you, George, well, you know, your schedule is kind of reversed. But this is just sort of a typical thing. So what I'm picturing is not being able to turn on the light is a sense of kind of losing the sense of direction for yourself. A light is something that helps you to see. In dream language, what that can mean is it helps you to be aware. It helps you to perceive. So that is the place where I would begin with a dream like that and then look at the other details. The most critical one that I see is that in the morning, then everything returns to normal. So what does that mean? Now you're through the night, and you're through that period of uncertainty.
I hope that helps you, Brian. I hope this helps you a lot. Are the dreams reality, or is the reality the dream?
You know, I think that we are finding out that there are layers to reality, that your dream world is a parallel of sorts to what we call the, you know, 3D waking world, and that there are different states of consciousness that also parallel it, such as the lucid dream state, the state of out-of-body experience.
Edgar Casey talked about that, didn't he?
Yes, he said that the spirit can roam out from the body while you were sleeping, and they get to have these experiences, to even get together with other spirits. And so I, you know, this question has been, you know, the philosophers have been debating this going back thousands of years, because, you know, dreaming is this fantastic state of consciousness that seems so real while you're doing it, and it has these parallels to your waking world. And a friend of mine, Ian Wilson, is a researcher into dreams. He has the ability to lucid dream basically on demand. And he has been going very deep with these experiments in going into a lucid state, but keeping track of waking reality and doing things in the lucid dream that then have a physical manifestation in our world. In other words, he's dreaming it, and then it happens right in front of his eyes.
Next up, we go to Joe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Joe, go ahead, sir. Good to have you with us.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I'm really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share my experience. I for years and years, I would dream of tornadoes. Sometimes I would be chasing them, kind of like, you know, in the movie Twister. And sometimes, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sometimes I'd be chasing them like in the movie Twister. Sometimes, most of the time, though, they'd be chasing me. And one of the common themes of my dreams is I'd be hiding in a basement or a garage or something, and I would look out a little window, and often the tornado actually had like a creepy, hideous-looking face staring back at me. So one time about 5 or 6 years ago, I actually became lucid in my dream. And I was like, you know what? I know I'm dreaming. I ain't going to let this tornado scare me. I'm going to face this thing. So in this particular dream, I was speeding down this train, a real fast train. I was sitting in the train. The tornado was coming after us. And as I became lucid, the tornado actually ripped the top half of the train off. So, you know, like all the seats were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I said, I'm not giving in to any fear. So what I did was I put my arms up in the air, and I just thought, go ahead, take me, suck me up. So, and it did. It pulled me out of the train. I'm swirling around with debris, but I had absolutely no fear at all. And the interesting thing about it, though, was for the next 3 or 4 days after I had that dream, I don't know how to explain it, but like I felt like $1 million. I felt so energized. I felt like a huge weight was off my shoulders. And I've never, and that was about 5 or 6 years ago when I had that lucid dream, and I never since then ever had a dream of tornadoes scaring me like that. And I just wonder what your interpretation is of that, and thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, thank you, Joe, for sharing that. You've just given all of the listeners out there a very valuable insight that you can use dreams as a virtual reality simulation to help you to confront your fears and do many other things, have experiences you've never had, resolve, like answer questions, resolve problems. Now, as I was listening to your description, I was thinking to myself, okay, there are different ways of interpreting a tornado in a dream. It can be something that goes round and round, you know, a situation in your life that keeps circling back to where it started. It can symbolize frantic activity. It can symbolize something that drops in out of nowhere and upends your life. You can see all these things in different ways that tornadoes can be portrayed or the way that they manifest in our world, right? But then you got to the part about the faces in the, you know, seeing the faces in the tornado, and it, there now you're starting to see a face of fear, and then the part with the train, and you are confronting the fear. You tell it, hey, tornado, I'm not afraid of you anymore. Do whatever you want. So now what you have, because tornadoes are something that is feared, now you have the definition of the symbolism. Because of the way that you react in the dream, you subconsciously know as you are dreaming what the symbolism means. In your case, you knew when you looked at that tornado the first time, you knew what it symbolized deep down inside of yourself. So now you analyze the way that you react in the story, and that can tell you a lot. You react by saying, I'm not going to be afraid of you anymore. Now we know that what it symbolized to you was fear. I would encourage everyone to try to do that. If they are having a recurring dream, that if they can program their mind to try to react in a better way to help resolve the situation, the next time the dream comes up, you'll be able to perhaps do what Joe did or daydream it. See yourself confronting the thing that is chasing you or that haunts you, or see yourself having the wonderful experience you've always wanted to have. See the love coming into your life that you want, whatever it is. But there is a very powerful thing that happens through dreams and through daydreaming where you can make very good and needed changes in your life if you can do it while you're dreaming or in your imagination afterwards.
What about the dead, the dearly departed, that come and visit you in your dream state? What's that all about?
I get asked about that a lot. And if you go to dreams123.net, you'll see on the right that there are the most popular posts. I just checked during the commercial break, and your listeners are pounding my website right now.
Oh, yes. So I hope we don't break it.
but there is still it's still coming up, but you may not be able to see that part of it. If you go to dreams123.net/about-me, you should be able to pull up the page that it's the way that it's supposed to look. The front page itself is just getting hammered. So deceased loved ones, it's a very commonly reported in dreams. And what I find is that there are usually the dream is speaking to something that is personal. It is not a visitation from the spirit of your loved one. It is you working through the grief and loss. It is you working through the side issues such as inheritance or, problems that are caused in the family. You know what that's like after someone dies and now everybody's got to air their grievances or whatever it was, you know. So there are different things that, you know, that it can symbolize. Now, it's not to say, though, that you cannot be visited by the deceased. I'm convinced now, after studying hundreds of these cases in writing and in personally interacting with the dreamers, that it does happen. And I found a few things to look for. First of all, the person who comes to you in the dream does not act like a dream character.
You can see the loving presence of the person that you knew. You can see it in their eyes. You can feel it radiating off of them. That's not to say, though, that all dreams where you feel that are definitely visitations, because dreams can be incredibly vivid and lifelike. But you're also looking for some other signs. I found one, telepathic communication. When the person is communicating to you through images and feelings, you might, it gets translated as words, but you don't really see, you know, the mouth doesn't need to move. You are able to communicate with the person telepathically. They come to you with an agenda. You know, they're not just there dropping by for a visit. They can, but most of the time what I found is that they are there because they have something. They want to tell you that they're okay. They want to tell you to move on with your life if you're stuck in your grief. They want to give you information about other family members that can help you to help them. These are things that come up very commonly in the dreams. But the thing that I find that is almost universal to all of these dreams is that you can look, the ones that are visitations, you can look in the eyes. That is the most important, George. Look in the eyes. If the dream character, if that person, your deceased loved one in your dream, if they can't look you in the eyes, or they start acting weird, or they look like they are sick, or they are angry with you, or they are sad, or they are unable to speak, or something weird is going on, you have a very good indication that what the dream is doing is telling you a story, and the appearance and behavior of the person in your dream is actually a projection of something from your own thoughts and feelings.
It's amazing how your body and your mind take over to try to give you a message, maybe even warnings.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, as you develop a relationship with your dreams, I get asked this a lot, and I want to make this point, is you don't necessarily have to understand every dream that you have. You don't have to be a guru at dream interpretation.
Though it would be fun to.
That's why
we get the book, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. That'll do it for us.
Thank you for the plug. But I do want to make this point is that by paying attention to your dreams, you get access to these deeper layers within you. A friend of mine calls it the spidey sense, that as you pay attention to your dreams, you put the effort into understanding them, put the effort into remembering them, play with them in your mind, give them the attention. What you're doing is you are developing a relationship, and you know that relationships are built upon the energy, the time, the effort that you put into them. It's the same way with the dreaming mind. And as you do this, you will start to reap the benefits. You will start to have these hunches and intuitions, those feelings of deja vu. You don't have to always remember the dream to have gotten the message from it. Oftentimes what happens is subconscious, but you can still get the benefit of it. So pay attention to your dreams, and you will really, I have found, George, that for myself and for people that I talk to who are really into their dream lives, that it turns out to be the best thing that they ever did for themselves.
All right, we're going to come back and take some final phone calls with J.M. DeBoard about your dreams. So those of you on hold, just hang with us. We'll come right back to you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with J.M. DeBoard as we talk about dreams, the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, and his website is dreams123.net. Simple as that. We've got it linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Let's take as many calls as we can in our final segment. We're going to our Skype caller, Nate in Alabama. Welcome to the show. Hi, Nate. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. I listen to your show quite a bit.
Thank you.
The first time I felt obligated to call in, I have suffered with night terrors for 15 years now.
Oh, God.
I've been heavily medicated and tried different relaxation techniques. But I do want to say that I think we need to be careful using the word night terrors, because I don't dream at all when I have a night terror. I sit straight up in my bed and I scream bloody murder.
Are you awake or asleep when that happens?
The majority of the time, I'm not awake.
You're not awake.
My eyes are open and I'm subconsciously awake, but I'm not lucidly awake.
Almost like you're a sleepwalker, but you're in bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, my doctors have told me it is more like I'm having a trans ischemic attack or some kind of seizure as opposed to dreaming. But the times that I have recalled my attacks, I've always seen either a black mass, like the dark people or the black people, the shadow people. Or I've actually seen figures standing either at the foot of my bed or my door, and I see them for a very split second. I personally think that I am having visitations, whether they be spiritual or alien, and my mind is being erased, and so those split-second visions that I'm having are remnants of my memory of what's going on.
Good point.
But it's terrifying.
How do you get any rest, Nate?
Well, they come and go. It's not an every night thing. When I do have them, they come in spurts for like days on end. They happen early in the evening. They don't happen during REM sleep, so that's why there's no dream associated with it. And I don't sleep good anyway. I've had to rely on medication, and of course, with medication, you don't sleep well either. But it's an ongoing battle. But I do want other people out there. I didn't know this was going on for a long time because if I sleep alone, I don't know because I don't have someone there to tell you what's going on. Right. It didn't occur to me until I actually, one night while sleeping, my wife jostled me in the night, and I woke up, and I do recall this. There was a shadow person on top of her, and the next thing I know, I was choking her.
Did she see this?
No.
Entity? She did not. Okay.
No. She was asleep, and at that point, I decided that I had to get some help. I've done studies on this, and, you know, like Abraham Lincoln dealt with a lot of this stuff, too. The guy that draws all the artwork for, like, Alien and he suffered from this as well. So there's a lot of...
It's got to be frustrating. How old are you, Nate, if I can ask?
I'm 41.
Well, you're young. You're young. JM, you want to jump in here on this?
You know... I thank you, Nate, for people who experience this level of night terror. It's something that you can't explain to, you know, other people and have them really grasp what you are really going through. I have a friend of mine who has night terrors who we've tried. I've tried every technique I know as a dream interpreter with him, and it doesn't stop him. You know, it's not that he has them all the time. But we have been able to, he has experienced things in his life that, you know, like his stepfather putting a shotgun in his chest, you know, and he thinks he's about to die. The things that were just beyond, you know, a level of trauma that most people have no idea. So you see this with people who've come back from war situations, who've been severely abused, who've lived through things that are just, you know, horrible. And I think what happens in some cases is that the body has some kind of pattern that has been ingrained into it, and it is taking over when you go to sleep. So you're not necessarily dreaming or in a REM stage sleep. But you are asleep enough to allow sort of your guard down. And now these traumas can play out from the body. The body is sending these signals in. I know somebody who was sleepwalking for a while who found that what her body was doing was trying to protect her because she had been careless. She'd actually like broken a finger and cut herself and done these other things from being careless. And she started sleepwalking because in an odd sort of way, her body was trying to figure out a way of protecting itself. So what I found sometimes with dreams that are so incredibly terrifying or moving in some kind of way, like the filmmaker Amy Hardy, who dreamed that she was going to die, and then she, you know, it turned out that she came very close to dying, and she went on a shamanic vision quest.
she went in a completely different direction from where her very logical, orderly mind would have normally said, okay, this is what I need to do to fix this situation. And she went on a vision quest. And that's sometimes, I'm not saying that will work for you, Nate, but there, you might have to take some kind of extreme measure. There might be something in you that is calling you to have some kind of extraordinary experience. Bring all of this to a head and see if you can get this thing to heal.
Next up, let's go to Crystal in Springfield, Missouri. Hello, Crystal. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Great, Crystal. Thank you.
I had a dream last night about my son and I sitting on the front porch of our house, and as we were just chilling, talking, and we saw an alien aircraft was up in the sky, and it came down and landed in the front yard. And as these aliens, I'm assuming, had come out and we were going to say hi, but for some reason I got really panicky and ran into the house thinking that my son had followed me. And I waited by the window and watched until I saw them fly back off. And then I ran out to see what my son was doing. And he was laying on the front porch, flat on his back, passed out, I guess. I mean, he was unconscious. So I drug him by his feet back into the house, and then it just stops and changes to completely like the next day where I'm out in my front yard and I see a big crater where not where the ship had been, but because the ship had been one place, but like 3 or 4 feet away, it left a big, huge crater in my front yard. I don't know that this means anything at all, but
how would you interpret this, JM?
You know, I'm sitting here thinking of, I know, you know, now we have physical evidence to consider. I'm sitting here thinking of, well, you know, is this symbolism for something that is just dropped into her life? You know, I know somebody that had a UFO dream like that, and it was actually, unwelcome guests in the house. You know, people who just drop by and make themselves at home, you know, and we were able to trace the dream about this UFO flying over to the house back to that. But to actually see something out in, you know, the front yard where the UFO had, you know, landed in your dream, that really, you know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, George? You know,
I love those stories. I love Crystal. Thanks for sharing that with us. You do believe in extraterrestrial life, Jim, don't you?
I think that there is extra-dimensional and extraterrestrial life, yes. Whether or not they're able to get here, I think you can build the technology for it. I think we already have on this planet, terrestrially. I think we've already built some of this technology and it's hidden from us, but that's another story. But yes, I do. I do believe that there is intelligent life out there.
And they dream?
I would think that it is dreaming is part of a process of helping you to, for one, get the memory banks cleared out, and then two, to process and collate your memories. So if other life forms are, you know, and working in the same sort of way as humanoid life forms, then I would think that they would dream, yes.
Next up, let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
JM, congratulations on the book and all the work you did. I want to ask you about if everybody in the dream is a stranger, you know, instead of a mix of people you know and people you don't know, does that mean you have something in common with these strangers? And my other question would be about suggestions that come across in a dream with encouragement, maybe a tip on your golf grip.
Sure. You know, Jack Nicklaus had a dream about improving his golf grip, and it led to him becoming, you know, one of the best golfers of all time. He took the advice of the dream. There was a hitch in his swing and something wrong with the grip, and he, you know, he made the changes, and it had helped him. There are a lot of people who have reported these dreams that they have followed the advice of the dreams, and it turned out to be great,
amazing
advice for them. Larry Page from Google, he had a dream as a graduate student at Stanford about being able to download the content from the internet so that it could be
sift it and collate it and do all the algorithm magic on it on the servers at Stanford. And then he woke up in the middle of the night and he followed through with it. And now we have Google, right? So, you know, there's definitely good things that you can learn from your dreams and to, you know, to pay attention to them. Now, the first half of the question with strangers, this is the thing to realize about dream characters is that they often represent things about you and aspects of yourself. Now, if it is something that is deliberately presented to you as a stranger, like the dream makes a point of saying this, then there could be some kind of symbolism to it. Like the woman I know who had a dream about a man, a stranger, that came to her door and knocked, and she decided she didn't want to open it. It was her estranged father who was trying to get back into her life, and she was making a decision in the dream that she did not want to have, and she did not want to open the door to him and allow him back into her life. But I find often that these dream characters are parts of you that are personified in the dream, and they are interacting. Your head talks to your heart. Your mind talks to your body. Different organs in the body talk to each other. Parts of the psyche, such as the persona and the ego and mental functions, these are all talking to each other in the dream. So you walk into a scene and you see all these people interacting with each other independently of you in the dream, and these strangers, and what you're actually seeing are all the parts of yourself having a little powwow in your sleep and giving each other, like kind of giving updates on what's going on.
We've got first time caller in Evergreen, Colorado. Ben is with us. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Great, Ben. Thanks.
Well, I just want to talk about when I was being poisoned by carbon monoxide back in the late 80s and early 2000s, I would have this recurring dream about not being able to breathe. But yet during the day, I could breathe great. I assume I was building up red blood cells, because I would go out cross-country skiing, and I would ski around this pond in the back of my house,
yeah,
just like skaters do.
Now, how did you get hit by the carbon monoxide?
It was our furnace, and hot water heater wasn't connected properly, and the furnace had rotted out inside. So it was from 95 to 2001.
Oh, you just didn't know it. It was a slow...
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now with these carbon monoxide detectors, they could have helped you, I guess, huh?
Well, actually, I had a cheap one, and it kind of just burned out, and it never said anything.
It didn't work.
But it was what was amazing was that when I was out skiing on this pond, I was doing just like you would be skating, and I'd switch, you know, directions, and I'd be sitting there go, man, this is amazing. God, I'm doing this so well. It's how can I be so, you know, physically, you know, working out so great and everything? And then at night, I'd have that recurring dream of how I can't breathe in my bedroom. I used to keep the window open.
This was a sign from his body, basically telling him you're poisoning yourself.
Yeah, and dreams about the body are the most common type of dream for most people. It depends on what your personal focus is on. I know some people who are very highly spiritual who just have tons of dreams about, you know, gods and saints and holy figures and stuff. But this is a great example here, because your dreaming mind is I call it the universal translator. It will take any input and it will turn it into symbolism. So when you have input from the body as you are sleeping and dreaming, your dreams will somehow take it and translate it into imagery. I know a guy who had sleep apnea who had recurring dreams about being stuck upside down in a chimney.
Oh, he thought he was Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, but the chimney is his esophagus, and he's stuck in his esophagus.
Oh,
so there's a point in his airway that is obstructed. I know someone else who had a dream that there was a snake that was wrapped around his head, and he woke up and he'd fallen asleep in a really weird position where his arm was wrapped around his head. I've had the dream about, you know, when you fall asleep on your arm and the arm turns dead and circulation is cut off. You know, I've had that dream about, like, you know, meat, you know, because it's cold and it's feelingless. And so your body will respond to what it is picking up. You could hear a sound You know, you could have like a jet war overhead, and then you start dreaming about a bomb or a war.
It tells you. I mean, it gives you precognitive dreams, lucid dreaming, you name it. It's there. JM, thanks for being on the program. Good luck with the work, the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Up next, Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.